inside. I don't know, we always, that's the kibbutz of this. On the day when Shushukot on Friday, I sort of feel a little bit of a change of pace or something. So let me first speak a little about what this sefer is and what the Indian sefer is. The sefer is called Magen Avos. It is, Magen Avos was a sefer written by Shneyasin, which I'm Zalmi Yudalev Shneyasin. I'll explain to you a little drop what it is. In Chabad Chassidus, the Alter Rebbe was the Miyasid. He had a son. He had a grandson who was a Goyen Ador. The Tzemach Tzedek was in Nigla, and this to everything. There was no Oirin, and he was a giant. After he was Nifta, he had a bunch of kids, a whole. And different ones, his youngest one was Mamshech in Lubavitch itself. His other children had Chassidus for a while. It's called Kapost. It was a very harsh Chassidus. Until he had three sons, each one took turns becoming Rebbe, and then when the last one was Nifta, they merged back with the regular ones. So the first one was called Rabbi Yuleib. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman was a son and a brother, and Lamaisa, he was for the longest time Rebbe there, and he was extremely Chashev. And they put out say, for Magen Avos. It has a lot of the flavor. I mean, it's Chabad, it's part of Chabad. And what makes it challenging is, one in the Kudus of Chabad Chassidus was they took a lot of Musagim from Kabbalah and sort of made them part and parcel of the day-to-day language, explaining all sorts of Nyanim. The Knech and Chassidus in general, especially Chabad, who tried very hard to take Kabbalah Musagim, was that the purpose of Kabbalah is to give you a much more powerful, intellectual / emotional connection to Yiddishkeit, to mitzvahs, and so on. So they used a lot of the language. They used it in the way that, in a certain way, so the Baal HaTanya took out a certain amount of ideas and worked on it and sort of giving it a pirush that's meaningful for a person's own hislavos and so on. So this is a piece from Magen Avos. Magen Avos is in some ways an easier sefer. I don't know, it's a little bit of a different knach in it, and I find it an easier sefer to learn to teach. And this is a piece on Purim. Now, like everything else, it says over here, because that's the Loshna Torah Orim, my service of Purim. Torah is a sefer we have from the Baal HaTanya, a collection of his important drushes. In a sense, he took out pieces here, but it's really him more than anything else, using the basic material, explaining it. There's a horrendous amount of run-ons in terms of paragraphs, if you'll see, that are marked off, which are his explanations on it. And that's really a lot of it. But we'll try to do the whole thing together. You know, we'll try to do pieces. I checked off the pieces that I feel are doable and usable so that we could get something out of it. The mile of it is there's a certain profound hisayrus that comes from these inyanim. If we can get at it, Bezras Hashem. Okay. It says, Vayeshit HaMelech LeEsther Shavet Azov VaTokum Esther VaTokum HaMelech. So, I guess before we go a step further, the inyanim of one of, I guess, the most fundamental approaches, mindsets of this approach is that just like, for instance, imagine a doctor sees a cardiogram. So the cardiogram measures electric movement, electric differences in the heart. It shows it as a graph. And then there's an interpretation of what this would be, what's happening in the heart to produce these types of waves. So we have three things that are extremely connected, and yet they look very differently. One is a heart beating, and parts of it are beating quicker, slower, whatever. One of it is electrical activity that's monitored, and one is a wave on a graph. And the ultimate, so each person might only know his piece, but really they're all layers of the same phenomena. the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Giluyim in the world happen at many different levels. And if you tap in appropriately to each level, you will get to an emes that's true on many, many levels. So if Chazal were Kaveya, Megillas Esther, as one of the Chavdalot Sfarim, and it's a story that really encapsulates a certain Nikud in Klal Yisrael, which is stretches through the Deiris. So we're going to understand it at many different levels, and those levels are not really size each other. Not only not size each other, they're different. There are different expressions of the same fundamental idea. So you have in Megillas Esther we have a pasuk twice that Ahasuerus sticks out a Shavit Hazov to Esther. There's a profound point here. There's a malchus, and there's someone who's waiting for a certain chesed or a message from the malchus, and the Shavit Hazov is meant to be the bridge between the melech and the person being mekablet. He's medayik that the shinuyim from the two parashas in Vayeshev and Chesed Shavit Hazov, Lahovin Hashem Shem Parashas Zul Parashal Malav, the Shom Nema Vayeish the Melech Shavit Hazov Asher B'Yodei. So there it says Vayeishev and Shavit Hazov Asher B'Yodei. Here it says La Esther. Here it says La Esther, and over there it says B'Yodei. That's those are shinuyim. Vigam Shom Nema Vatika B'Roish Hashavit. It says over there that she touched the head of the Shavit. Vikan mash mash also kol Shavit. It says he gave her the Shavit. Vigam lahovin. So first of all, understand the difference between the two. Vigam lahovin in yezeh becholzman mahu, and to understand how this takes place always. What's in the kudah that transcends a particular event at a particular time? Which is really the shortage of where it's coming from. Hine. Knesset Yisrael nikra b'shem Esther, al shem v'noichi haste aste pane b'yemahu. Ki pnei Hashem shugilu shchinosei, k'ma shekosev yo Hashem pane b'lecha. So he says, haste aste panei. Panei really is Klal Yisrael. And let's understand in what sense. And we'll do a little bit, something that I didn't mark off, but whatever I feel we can do, and just... It says, Yor Hashem Pane Velecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give us his Ha'aras Panim. Ha'aras Panim means, just like you have a computer working, or let's say old-fashioned cars, you know, old-fashioned cars. Cars, they work. They did their own thing until they either began to sort of creak and groan, or whatever it is. As they progressed, they kept having like a little window into the car's workings, and this is happening now, this is happening now, this is happening here, this is where this is happening. In other words, a process that's visible is called Ha'aras Panim. So somebody's poker-faced, he's thinking, he's doing something, he has in mind something, but there's no expression of it. When a person has Ha'aras Panim, he's expressing something. So panav is translated as shchina. Hareish hashchina nikra panav. V'zeh sh'omah yovei kol basal ishtachavos lefonai. In other words, lefonai is usually translated as a simple preposition, in front of me, kind of. It's just a relationship. You know, you come and you mishtachav to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, no. The word panim is very, very particular. Because what does it mean, he's coming to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Wherever I go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So if I stand in the middle of our colon, I'm being mishtachva all the time, so I'm mishtachva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, why is that? What does it mean it's not before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. So how can one place be called bifnei Hashem or not? So he says the hadgoshes haloshen is the word panim. Bifnei, lifnei means... In an area where HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses himself. So the word bifnei, yes, the right translation is still in front of, but it takes on a very different meaning. Bifnei means in the panim of, in conjunction with a certain panim. Vatamhu, the understanding of it is, kimoi bada matachtin, shebiponim hu ikigilopnimis kirsa nefesh, seichel machshava riyashmir reach tibo. The person's face has almost every window of interaction with the world, and speech, expression, absorbing of it, and so on, of the same. So the ponim is something which expresses in it the entirety of the essence. So the ponim is not just another part of the body. It's a layer of when the person is in front of me, when not. If I'm speaking to somebody and I see no expression on his face, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not talking to him. I mean, I might think I'm talking to him, but it's only when there's an expression that I actually get the sense that I'm interacting with a person. Skipping two or three lines. V'zeo shenikro Knesset Yisrael. And that's why Knesset Yisrael Kaisel Knesset. Pierce Knesset Sefer Teicha Oris Hagilur B'chines Yisrael Delayla. We're called Knesset Yisrael. It's not only we gather together. We gather in ourselves. We are the Ha'aris HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, in a certain sense, we are the Pnei Hashem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to reveal himself to the world, it's through Klal Yisrael. It's Eidus Hila'olam. It's when Klal Yisrael is demonstrating something. Well, Klal Yisrael is doing well, doing poor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Charoin Af through Klal Yisrael, and he shows Aris Panah through Klal Yisrael. Everything, so we are in effect the Panim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're Knesset Yisrael because we have in ourselves we gather in ourselves those Aris and we give it out. It's like they have the different things that absorb Tzvi. If you no, you're davening. Please daven there. No. You're either davening in tefillin or you're sitting here. One or the other. Okay, so you can sit. If a person is, there are a lot of times there are bodies that absorb heat and give it out. They absorb light and then they give it out. We absorb from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'aris, and we then project those Ha'aris. We give out those Ha'aris. It's always, it's something which is, we are in a certain sense. Let's skip over to the next piece that I marked off. V'derech prat b'chol nefesh, and this is basically, what he's doing is taking pieces of Torah and he's explaining it. It's not, the Seder is not great, but we'll try to follow it. I try to mark off the pieces that we can get the thread of thought. V'derech prat b'chol nefesh mi'Yisrael hinei, kasher b'chinas nitzutz nefesh aloikis, hu mechusse u melubesh b'levush ha'machshav d'yumayis ha'gashmin, ve'eino Hashem shor alav, So now, every single person in Klai Yisrael, we're miming that every single person has an neshama, and everybody's neshama has in itself a tremendous avat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it can be covered over with a lot of layers, where the thing is not being mayor out. Let's stop and talk about this also a little bit. One of the points that I guess in a very essential way, all the chassidus came to bring out, and in Chabad in a particular knesh. When we're trying to quote unquote be makar of somebody, when trying to make somebody into a good person, we're trying to do something to somebody. So the normal understanding, the outside understanding is, I'm selling him something. This person's not a maimon. I will convince him to be a maimon. I will convince him to be a good person. It's a sales pitch. I'm talking to somebody who's not there, but I'm doing it. The general mindset of Chassidus and in Chabad this came in a particular way that every single person has in himself a chelik that's there. It's there. The question is, just like in Shabbos you have grufa ketuma, where you cover over a fireplace with ashes, and you can have a matzev where right now it's not burning, but it's waiting, just uncover it. Or you have something called like omimos, like they just need to blow on it. And, you know, echel liba ruach, and you know, you have different stages of making a fire. So what I'm doing when I'm talking to somebody, and divrei musa teichacha, and whatever it is, I'm simply the liba seruach. I'm the one who is, the coal has the fire. I'm not giving the fire. I'm not. What I'm doing is taking it out from a state of sort of hibernation to a state of active light, warmth, and so on. So in Klal Yisrael itself, me and you and everybody has that. The Hester Panim means the words are precise. The Panim is Muster. The Panim is not in a position, it's not radiating anything, and as a Panim that means it's pretty dead. But there's something there that's Bifnim. So he says, V'derech prat b'chol nefesh m'Yisrael hinei, kasher p'chinas nitzutz nafsha loikis hu mechusum ulubash b'levushim achshad v'maisa gashmin. When a person's nefesh is covered up with the layers of his own thoughts and feelings and ideas, v'eino Hashem sholov mizgalaboy, yes nitfatz v'nikoy moichol v'liba avaz Hashem dafkadov, it's not there b'golui kim b'chinas makival m'yamala. Let's just talk about this briefly. It says that when Adam HaRishon was choyte, it says that his neshama, that one dagger of his neshama went up. It used to be in him, what's called neshama. Nefesh, ruach, neshama are the three lower daggers of a person. Neshama is already divine. Nefesh is a physical life force, and ruach is a sort of a mental act, a life force. It's what bechira is. Neshama is the part of you that's good. You know, nishma shakai tevinim. The neshama is the part that's vayipach b'apav. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's life force, kaviyachol. So it says it went on, it left the person and it floats on top of his head. Behilo, like it says in the pasuk, behilo neiroi alei roishi, that the light of his candle is on top of my head. What does that mean? It means that there are certain things that, there's certain feelings and hagashas we have that we sense as us. I really want to do this. I am scared at this, of this, and so on. Those are things that we identify with ourselves. A person sometimes gets an inspiration. And what we're margish when a person gets inspiration is, it's a voice beyond. It's something where I would like to be. I know that it'll sort of disappear, maybe. It may not last all the time, but right now it's being mashpia on me. So I can sense a certain type of hashpa, divine hashpa, from Lamala to me. And while we connect, it's very much mashpia on me, but I know it's not me yet. That's the p'china of neshama that is above and beyond. And this is what he says over here. It's called Bechinas Makif Olav Milamala. It's something that's on top of him. It's surrounding him. Just like, let's give another mashal. A person comes into a very stark Makam Torah, or Makam Kodesh. He feels uplifted, and he feels inspired, and so on. It would be wrong to call it him, but it would be wrong to call it not genuine. It's not a fake, and it's not him either. It's this bechina of what we call a makif. It means it surrounds me, it has a connection to me, it inspires me, but it's not me. And the nafkemina is just whether you're using it, you know, how to make use of it. A person needs to understand it's an opportunity, but he's not there yet. Just because he walks and he spends 1,000 people sitting and learning, or he walks away some mikdash and he's overawed by Neiros, or whatever it is, or Yom Kippur, it's not him. But it's something that will make him, if you use it, it's like when you light a fire, you put a very strong flame next to the wood, the twigs, whatever it is that you're doing, ein erech lagboma, and the you know, and just because right now is a big fire, it takes chachma to say, has it, you know, b'haloischa, has it caught yet, or is it just working, or is it just, am I just seeing the flame that I put into it? So kol zman, this is in a person, and it's not bizgalus, it's bebchinas makiv, nikra bchinas av zu b'shem Esther. This is the bchinas Esther in the person. She musuteras bebchinas bayoyim hahu. That's why the pasuk, it says, bayoyim hahu, v'anoichi hasta asta panei bayoyim hahu. What does it mean bayoyim hahu? Bayoyim hahu means it's the other day. It's a day that's somewhere out there. It's not it's the place that's not begili. It's wrapped in mystery, so to speak. That's the b'chinas bayim hahu. She mustes b'chinas bayim hahu sheines gas. Whenever I say hahu, it means what I don't see. When I talk about him, it, then I'm talking about something there, not here. V'hi b'chinas nekuda be'chol pnimis nekudas liboy. But b'pchinas pnim, in the very, very pnimis of the person, it's something that everyone has, and in a certain sense, we must believe. Just like we believe there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, no matter how much hestapon there is, we need to believe there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in every person, no matter how much hestapon there is. Skip down to the next marked off area. Ve'ein lecha adam she'ein lo b'chinas pnimis zeh. And every single person has that same nekuda. In that nekuda, there is no distinction. The question is, how well is he might see it? Now we'll see part of the piece that he says, the next, continuing it. Let's talk about this. This is, in the Tanya, he goes through this many, many times, this argument. It doesn't sound. Someone wonder about it, but we'll try to understand what he means with it. He says like this: every single person, even the Rosh Hashanah Rishoyim, if it comes a moment of truth where he's told either shmad or be killed, afilu poishe Yisrael wamaisa nefesh. And there's nothing more important to a person than his nefesh. So you see that you have it in you, and this is what you really want. So when you're coming to do an Aveira, why would you do it? More or less, that's a point that he makes countless amount of times. It seems to us, just because every one of us believes that Chas v'Shalom, in a terrible moment of truth, we would choose right. And everyone else knows that when it comes to eating Chveis, it was this, that, or the other thing, or doing this, that, or the other thing. You know, somebody's about to speak a little Lashon Hara, like a minor little Avak Shabavak, and someone taps on his shoulder and says, listen, if a guy was standing with a gun and killed you, that, you wouldn't do it. So why would you want to do this? It all takes, you know, it kind of makes sense, but it doesn't make sense in life. But what he means is, it's a tool for a person to understand who he is. In other words, a person. And in those moments of tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, we talk about, when we think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nisyonos, and the tougher the Nisyon is, so we think of it always in terms of the schar we get for doing something when things are rough. Okay, but it's much deeper than that. When a person is shaken awake and he's forced to do something big, for Yiddishkeit, for Torah, it changes the person. It's not just, you know, well, okay, I did this with Transcendent Nefesh, you get a lot of schar. It awakens in the person a panemius, that if a person says to himself, you know, it was so hard for me to get to this point, am I going to waste it away on something frivolous? I mean, I was used this much, when I came to Yisrael, almost every single person learning yeshiva was there against his parents' better wishes. So when people were thinking had a havamina to do something that they should or shouldn't, or let's call it a get of rishus at a time when they should be doing something about rishus or whatever, people would say, you know, people would feel, you know, I didn't go through all this hassle for this. I mean, Baruch Hashem, today everybody is there probably only because their parents wanted to go there. And it's very different. People don't have that awakening because they never had any soyan. And Nisoyan awakens in a person a sense of who he is and what he really wants. And it changes the person. V'lechein, he says, B'shas mis nefesh mizgala nitzitz aloikus shemusta b'pnimis v'zalev. At times in Siris Nefesh, a person's pnimius becomes revealed. Shubchinas aste pane b'yemahu. Vihine says, v'mei este hayu kol yisrael muchanim al mesiris nefesh legamri b'foyel mamish. All of Klal Yisrael was ready for real mesiris nefesh. And I want to talk a minute about this. You know, someone was talking on Purim, and it is something that's very hard to understand. From a halachic point of view, what was the excuse of Mordechai to provoke Haman? I mean, it's not clear in the psukim that was Avodah Zarah. You have to understand something, that when Chazal tells Avodah Zarah, it means that that's not the Pasha Pshat. It was in it, but it wasn't the Pasha Pshat. You're allowed to bow to a person. And Mefurish, first halacha, you bow to a king. You keep bowing to Bnei Ches, you bow here, you bow there. Bowing to a person is mutter, unless the person makes himself into Avodah Zarah. And it doesn't say that in the pasuk. That's not the main agasha. Why do he have to show himself? Mordechai could have sat and learned in his Beis Medrash, and I doubt Haman made it into the Beis Medrash. And he didn't have to walk into the street. There are a lot of big tzaddikim never make it into the street. They don't meet the Hamans. They don't have to bow to them. It's very clear the pasuk is provoking him. So I don't have a halachic teretz for it. But it was very similar in a certain sense to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who also did the same thing. Klal Yisrael was becoming more and more and more covered with grime. This is the first time Klal Yisrael had Bavel and Paras, they had become absorbed in another culture. And the Yiddishkeit was in their hearts, but it was becoming... The callus was becoming thicker and thicker. And to provoke a situation of Mesiris Nefesh, and again, I don't have the halachic parameters for how, why, what, when, but at least it awakens a Klal Yisrael sense of Mesiris Nefesh. I was, many, many years ago in Azeisha Torah, Reb Noach reached out to many different countries and many different places. So at that time, there was the nascent, or wasn't so nascent actually, probably was the ripe at that time, Russian Baal Tshuva movement, who were becoming Baal Tshuva under very, very, very difficult circumstances. Really, really tremendous mesiris nefesh. I mean, you were hounded, you lost your job, you were cooped up. It was very rough. And it was growing, and people were doing it. And Reb Noach was also reaching out, he had somebody, they were bringing people from Brazil. Now, in Brazil, life was good. Life was very good. And they were very nice guys, but it was very hard to move them in any place. And Reb Noach spoke, I remember it was at Hanukkah Mesiba or Purim Mesiba, some sort of Mesiba, and he said, what are we going to do about the jury? Maybe if we can bribe the government to make some gzeres against the Jews, it might awaken the same type of mesiris nefesh that the Russian Jews are demonstrating. Like, one would have said a kal v'chaimer, ma'adach in Russia, where you lose your job, you're cooped up in your tiny apartment, and they're constantly following you and questioning you. People keep mitzvahs, certainly in Brazil where there's nobody hounding you, no pursuing you, but the Kalchum doesn't work because nothing awakened that Nakuda. So he says that Hest upon him began to shine out. So what it did was it created a ripple effect that Lamala, that Kaddish Baruch Hu's Mustadike Hanhagis also began to come out. Vim Kain Heyabahem Begilui Pinas Astapani Bebahu. Vaidezim Shir Malachim says that Nagab Kazem Yushkala, Vishurish Pinazu Lamala, Pinas Pnimius. I think I'm not sure what that is. Shemusta v'nelam v'pnim is bina. I think it should be tvuna, but I'm not sure. It's shenikra bayemahu alma diskasia. And then kiduah shavim nikastim v'atikin. Not important to us. The point is, it began. It was a crack that opened up that allowed for ha'ara to come down into this world. And he said the Velachain, last two lines, Simchas Purim G'doy L'Ademoit. And that's why Simchas Purim has in itself a dimension that another Simcha has, which is Shashtiya V'Simcha Tzachliyos B'loy Mida. That the Shtiya Simcha is boundless. You never find it in Kemayim Razal, Chaylib Simad L'Yodim. You don't find it. All of Torah is about Midas and Gvulas. All about Torah, the whole Kuzari speaks about how everything has its measure and its amount and what's a proper and what's not proper and so on and so forth. The first time you find boundless, Ad L'Yoda, Dehine, he says, Matzinu Shavodos Olavim Hoya B'Simcha, Adavod Olavim was B'Simcha, La'armo Akolo B'Shir V'Zimra, to lift their voice with Shir V'Zimra. V'Hainu Mishun Nechsiv V'Ovar Alevi, that avodas halevi who pchinas who alma diskasya heilo bina yumshav skal pchinas atel leichakma, they were supposed to be megala a certain type with their shir and zimra. They brought out to this world a certain gilui. V'zeinya simcha migilui ahelam v'lachein arzovus hashir v'simcha layayin, and that was in yayin because yayin is besamach shememshach gilui ahelam kenedua nichtasayim yitzasayid, means that a lot that was inside comes out. So Yayin is allows Shira, which is an expression of things that are beyond. Achasimcha shayayin atzofles b'mida, much kasev b'nesachim chatzayhin shlishayin reviyasayhin. It was very clear mida. Ubepurim amru shehashtiya v'asimcha tzofles b'loy mida ad lo yadi. But Purim is unique. So he says v'hainu. I'll try to sum this up. The giluyim of the Leviim. In other words, the expression of Leviim was, let's give a mashal. A person has a matzav, a situation. He's in a chasna, and it's very tzman simcha. But he has a lot of feelings that it's hard to express. You play music, you bring it out. So there's like a little reservoir of hargoshes waiting to happen, and you bring it out. That's like the Leviim. The Purim, they will open up a world which was beyond their world. It was a world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. And that has no midah. So what a person has inside him, in a certain Basher Husham, for instance, sometimes, let's say in chinuch, you work with a person and you say, this person has this amount of potential, and this is what I try to bring out. Sometimes a person just surprises you, and he brings out things that you never expected. So every person has in himself like a little reservoir of things waiting to come out, like a tank, of like by the water cooler. You have water in the tank, and that's waiting to come out when you press the button. And then you have the water that's in the pipe or in the reservoir, which is, so to speak, boundless, and that will keep filling up. So the simcha that Leviim brought out was simcha, and it needed yayin, which extends, it allows expression for things that couldn't, but it wasn't boundless. It had a certain gvul. Purim, he says, they were mamshik from the Hester. Let me skip down a few more lines. Ubazeh yuvan. It's sort of the middle of the paragraph I marked off. Shagili bepurim who me'ena gilos in lovei. Dechsev oma bayoim hahu hine lekeinu ze. Dimashna shebepchinas bayoim hahu atzmoi yoima ze Hashem kivinu lo and so on. So the bayoim hahu, when we say, well, let's translate this in a colloquial language and we'll understand it. Somebody's going through a difficult tkufa. And there seems to be no end to it. And the person says, yeah, someday. So that someday expresses something that's beyond me, something that's muster, something that just, I who knows if we'll be zeichet, that kind of thing. But when a person, when the Yeshua reaches a person says, this is the day, Zeh Yom HaShem, I realize, if I'm lucky and I see why it was that day dafka, we'll have to go through step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, day 49, day 50 to get to the gula. Then I understand the bayoyim ahu itself is megalit. I'm just going to sum up so that I will just so I get the finish also. Basically, what he says over here is, I mean, it's a long arichus and a lot of side points, but his, going back to his questions, he says, there's the shavit, there's the melech, there's the malka waiting to get from the melech, and there's a shavit that extends. The minimum you touch is the end of the shavit. In other words, the melech gives you a shavit, and you're able to touch the end of it and connect. But a higher dagger is where the melech gives the entire shavit, and you basically you're connected to where it's coming from, rather than where it got to you. You're connected to the mucker in a certain sense. So there's two giluyim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is a gilui, which connects. I did avoid. I bought a carbon, and an Eish came down in Hashemayim and took it. And that's a gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepting. I connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. And the second one is where I'm able to connect to the Shoresh and to the Makor, which is boundless, which is gvul. When something comes into my domain, it automatically takes on a certain gvul. So the gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. It's the thing itself. When you're able to be mitgala, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu hest upon him, then you're looking into the shayrish of where it's musta. Let's go back to Purim and understand the difference. The giluyim of Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuos were extraordinary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ripped up all the Shemayims. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was here. Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here with us. Zekheli, Vanvehu, Ras HaShifcha, and so on. Those are extraordinary giluyim. Those are moments of giluyim. But the Hester remains a Hester. But in a certain sense, on Purim, we gained insight into Hester itself. In other words, that the Bayoyim HaHu became the Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo. That's a gilui that's boundless. So now everything is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just like when I see a particular instance, I see something big. When I see something that's beyond, and I see everything, Moichol Aretz Kvoidoi, then every aspect of the Aretz is Kvoidoi. That's the extraordinary difference. And that's where lies the special gilui of Purim. It's one of the yonim why when a person goes through some sort of situation where a person undergoes tremendous change, there are times when a person says, oh, I'm good at this, I'm going to do this and this. And at times when the whole person says, wow, so this is me. And it's a flash of insight in the entire person. That's what the B'chinas Purim is over here. Okay, we'll hold it here.